Five Little Peppers Grown Up by Margaret Sidney. Chapter 1. Polly Gives Music Lessons. Miss Pepper! Miss Pepper! Polly turned quickly. It was such an anxious little cry. What? Oh, Amy Lockhead! Amy threw herself up against Polly's gown. Oh, if I may, she began, flushing painfully. You see, my brother is coming tomorrow. I've a letter, so if you will let me...
"'Let you what?' cried Polly with a little laugh. "'Go on, Amy. Don't be afraid.'
"'You see, it is just this way.' Amy twisted her fingers together, drew her breath hard, and rushed on nervously. "'Jack, he's my brother, you know. Promised me. I never told you. If I would only learn to play on the piano, he'd take me to Europe with him next time. And now he's coming tomorrow, and oh, what shall I do?'
Amy was far gone now, and she ended with a little howl of distress that brought two or three of the Salisbury girls flying in with astonishment. "'Go back,' said Polly to them all, and they ran off as suddenly as they had popped in, to leave Amy and the music teacher alone. "'Now, Amy,' said Polly kindly, getting down on her knees beside the girl where she had thrown herself on the broad lounge, "'you must just understand, dear, that I cannot help you unless you will have self-control and be a little woman yourself.'
"'You told me I would be sorry if I didn't practice,' mourned Amy, dragging her wet little handkerchief between her fingers, "'but I didn't suppose Jack was coming for 6 months, and I'd have time to catch up, and now—' "'Oh, dear me!'
and she burrowed deeper into Miss Salisbury's big sofa pillow. "'Take care!' warned Polly, with a ready hand to rescue the elaborate combination of silk and floss. "'It would be a very dreadful thing if this should get spoiled.' Amy Lockhead brought her wet cheek off suddenly.
"'There isn't a single tear on it, Miss Pepper!' she gasped.
"'That's very fortunate,' said Polly with a relieved breath. "'Well, Amy, child, how can I help you?' She sat down now and drew the girl's hot little hand within her own.
"'I can almost play that horrible Chopin,' said Amy irreverently. "'That is, I could if—oh, Miss Pepper!'
She broke off suddenly and brought her flushed face very near to the one above her.
"'Could you help me play it? Just hear me, you know, and tell me things you did over again about it, if I practice all the afternoon? Could you?'
"'This evening, do you mean?' asked Polly a trifle sharply.
"'Yes,' said Amy faintly and twisting her handkerchief. "'Oh, dear me, I know you're so tired. What shall I do?'
"'But you don't understand,' cried Polly, vexed with herself that she couldn't help her annoyance from being seen.
"'I shall put someone else out if I give up my evening. I have an engagement, Amy. No, I don't see how I can do it, child. I'm sorry.'
And then before she knew how, she put both arms around the little figure. "'Don't cry, dear. I suppose I must. I'll get out of the other thing. Yes, fly at Chopin and keep your courage up, and I'll be over at 7. Then tomorrow Brother Jack will say, "How fine," and off you'll go over the seas.' Outside, Polly, after enlisting Miss Salisbury's favor for the evening's plan, was hurrying along the pavement, calling herself 100 foolish names for helping an idle girl out of a scrape.
"'And to think of losing the only chance to hear Dalbert,' she mourned. "'Well, it's done now and can't be helped. Even Jasper, when he hears of it, will think me as silly, I suppose. Now, to make my peace with Pickering.'
She turned down the avenue running out from the street that had the honor to contain Miss Salisbury's boarding and day school for young ladies, and met face to face, suddenly, a young man, about whose joy at meeting her there could be no doubt.
"'Oh, Polly!' he cried. "'Here, let me take that detestable thing,' trying to get the music roll out of her hand.
"'Take care how you talk about this!' cried Polly, hugging it closer. "'Indeed, you shall not touch it till you are glad that I am a music teacher. Oh, I must tell you, I was on my way to your house because I was afraid you wouldn't understand a note. I can't go tonight.'
"'Can't go tonight?' repeated Pickering, in his astonishment, forgetting all his manners. "'Why, Polly Pepper, what do you mean?'
"'Why, I must give it up,' cried Polly nervously. "'Don't ask me, or perhaps I ought to tell you, Pickering. Then you'll see I can't help myself.'
And Polly rapidly unfolded her plan for the evening, omitting all details as to Amy's careless waste of her lessons, despite all efforts to make her practice. At the end of the recital, Pickering Dodge came to a full pause on the sidewalk, regardless of all passers-by, and turned a glowering face on Polly, who was forced to stand still also and look at him.
"'Idiocy!' he exclaimed. "'To give up Dalbert for that ignoramus! Polly, are you losing your senses?'
"'I don't know,' said poor Polly, who had lost the first flush of enthusiasm over her plan,
and to whom nothing now seemed so delightful as the sight and sound of Dalbert and his wonderful melody.
"'Well, it's done, so don't tempt me to feel badly, Pickering.'
"'Indeed, and it's not done,' said Pickering angrily. "'You made the engagement, Polly. I never knew you to break one before,' he added stingingly.
The tears flew into Polly's brown eyes, and every bit of color deserted her round cheek.
"'Don't call it that, Pickering,' she implored, putting out her hand.
"'I shall call it just what it is,' declared Pickering in his stiffest fashion.